good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back, and it's always a good thing to be back talking about the Word of God, the truth, the authoritative Word of God. And Tara has written an amazing Bible study, Tell It Well. You can buy it on Amazon.com. It was awesome. You will grow. And we have been in the chapter 11 of the book of Acts, and she storied it. And then we've talked, you have to go back to July 2nd, July 9th and listen to the recordings. But today we are going to be talking about finishing up with Barnabas.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't really know what she's going to be talking about. I thought I could read her mind, but didn't happen. I have too much congestion in between.
You totally got it. You got it. Oh, that's funny. Oh, if you only knew what Sabrina had done. She totally did something that would make me, I wanted to laugh so hard at the end of the last show that I barely could myself speak normal.
I was being a story bully.
No, you weren't. She didn't do anything bad.
I know. It's that summer cold.
She's got a head cold.
Yeah. And so I had to help myself with some Kleenex up my nose.
No, that's all good. Okay. So, all right. So we're at the point where we have the church at Antioch, and they are sending out, and the scattering and the church begins. And we talked last week about the responsibility that we are called to be influencers and agents of grace, essentially. But today, what we're going to end with is I want us to think about, I don't know, Sabrina, you know that this is something that's very dear to my heart, and I think this is just a perfect biblical example. Barnabas was so excited by what was going on with all these people coming to know the Lord, where he could see the grace of what God's hand was, the joy, and wanted to encourage them, that he didn't want to see it alone. And so what did he do? He sent off for Saul to come and join him to be a part of it. And that so resonates with my heart, because you are one of the people that I have said, come along, I don't want to do this alone. You know, the radio ministry is one, and then we do all kinds of stuff. Whoops, sorry. All kinds of stuff together ministry related, because I don't want to do it alone. What fun is it if you're by yourself?
And I look so forward to, Tara and I haven't been able to do anything for a while together just because of our schedules. But I look so forward to October when I get to be with her. Like, it's because I know I get my time with her by myself, as well as get to minister with others. And there's nothing sweeter. You know, like, you get the best of both worlds.
She's referring that we have a women's conference that we're going to go and be a part of. But, you know, there's something sweet about having somebody shoulder to shoulder to see what God is doing.
Absolutely.
And it's so much better to be together than it is to be alone. And here is a perfect example. This was shortly after Tanya stopped doing the radio show because she had had baby Micah. Mm-hmm. And so we were missing Tanya with us. So it was different dynamic. Instead of having three, we had two. And Sabrina had something come up and she had to leave. And so I was left on the radio by myself.
For just an hour.
No, 6 minutes. It was 6 minutes. All it was 6 minutes. And I'm sitting there talking and talking and talking. I'm like, I need somebody to interrupt me. I need some feedback. It was really weird trying to do the ministry alone.
Absolutely.
It's not possible. I mean, it is possible, but the joy is not as full as when you have two or more. That's what happened. Barnabas was so thrilled by what is happening that he sends for his buddy Saul. Saul, you got to come. And it's so funny that I told you guys about on YouTube, they have the flannel guys that do the Bible stories. And then this particular aspect of the story, the flannel guy, Barnabas, is flying all over the flannel graph. And he has Saul asking, Barnabas, why are you flying all over the place? And he goes, because it makes for great stunts. You know, I mean, just it's just goofy, crazy stuff. And I just was thinking of this Saul. Come on, Saul. And so he has Saul come, and he begins to show him what's happening. And as this happens, Scripture tells us something that is a new truth. And for the first time in Christendom, believers are called Christians. Mm. And, you know, we bear that word with such pride, to be called a Christian. That is the label that we enjoy, right?
Yeah.
For them, it wasn't. It was actually derogatory, those Christians. It was not originally intended to be a blessing.
Wow.
They saw what was happening amongst the believers, saw the amazing things, and they're like, look at all those Christ followers.
Mm.
I mean, isn't that amazing how the tone can greatly change the way you view something? And praise God, God redeemed that word. He says, hey, it's got my son in it. It's a blessing.
Absolutely.
Amen, amen. But what came to my mind is that we have a privilege of receiving an honored label. Because see, God the Father had said, this is my son, listen to him and do what he does. I'm, you know, he's well pleased with Jesus. And they had so done what Jesus did that they couldn't help but all over say, Christians, those Christ followers, they started to recognize the outsiders, who they were. Now, a lot of people would think, okay, well, you know, what's the big deal about that? It was a very big deal. For them, it actually had huge ramifications because, see, Rome was over them. And Rome had given an edict that Judaism was an approved religion, but Christianity was not.
Oh.
In fact, Christianity was a sect. It was viewed as a cult. And so for them then to get the label meant ramifications.
Right, for who they are is
completely
business, everything.
And so, you know, it's amazing how the process of those kinds of things can happen. And so when we use that term with one another, I just think about where it came from and what it stood for and what was happening. And we need to wear that label the same way. And so when someone looks at me, when my neighbors look at me, when I am wherever, the bank teller or walking my neighborhood or at my children's school or at a sporting event, can people say, those are Christ followers? Is it so evident to people that they can point it out and see that in me? And we need to honor that label that was given to them. Even though it was given in a derogatory form, what it represents as an example is extremely important that we honor it. So as we're doing that, I want us to think about, as a summation, some of the things that we need to examine. Looking back at Acts 11, by way of what all that he had done as Peter went and shared and as he began to reveal to them the truths of God, Peter began to make it clear that God has different people with different roles and with different ministries, but we all have the same identity.
Oh.
Okay? Think about that. Different people, different roles, different ministries, but all with the same identity. So it didn't matter if they were in the Phoenicia or the Cyprus or Antioch, or if they were in Cyprus or Cyrene. They may have different roles. Some went to Jews, some went to Greeks, some went to Gentiles, but they all were given the same identity.
That is so funny, because I was at a conference this weekend, like Tara mentioned, and then I was in Kentucky for a different conference, and they both said, do not compete with your sisters in Christ. Be shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
We are all serving the Almighty God.
That's exactly right.
And when you try to come in and act like, oh, I know this, and you know, it divides what God is trying to unify.
That's exactly
right. And I think women, we struggle with that, you know, because she's better or she knows. And, you know, we're all serving the same God. There should be no competition in the body of Christ.
No.
And that is something that they really reiterated to all of us over and over. Like, shoulder to shoulder, women.
Yeah, I love that. And that is good. And if you think about it, Barnabas going, he was going to be shoulder to shoulder.
Yes.
He didn't go to Lord. And the difference would be, is look at what the competition that the circumcised group wanted to do to Peter. And yet Peter showed them how to be shoulder to shoulder.
We have to be taught.
Yeah.
Because we're so competitive as in our flesh.
And it was the simple telling with a simple focus that he did as he walked them through it, you know, and he was very precise. You could tell he enjoyed telling what God mm-hmm. was doing. You could tell that he allowed the story to reflect God's glory, where, you know, he wasn't trying to force it. He just allowed mm-hmm. the story to reveal what God was. He pointed out how people were involved, and he just allowed them to join and partake where they were at. Whereas with Barnabas, as he was walking through, he couldn't help but see the impact of the story. Mm. Okay? He was walking through and seeing the fruit in all of these places, the evidence of God's grace and God's hand. And so he wasn't trying to force, you know, roles or ministries or titles or positions. Right. It was the same identity. He could see the identity of God. And he said, stay where, you know, in the Lord's heart where he's shown you, because it was evident that it was God's hand. And the reason is when we focus in on that, our commonness, our common ground, it's when we're in competition, when we are jealous rivalries, or I don't know, prideful boastings, or
selfish ambition,
we have lost focus of what the main is. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's where the identity comes from, and that's our common ground. All the other issues that we try to instigate, propagate, whatever you want to, Watergate, whatever it may be, you know, those things do not matter. We yeah. have to go to where our common ground is. And when we do that, then we're able to look across denominational, mm-hmm. interdenominational, non-denominational, pre-denominational, whatever you want to say. Those things are all man-made. They're not from God.
That's right.
And get past those and really focus in on where we're supposed to be. Well, as a fruit of an outcome, we have to recognize that as Christians, we're not always going to agree. We yes. are not always going to be in agreement.
And whew, I'm realizing that more and more.
and you know what? We don't have to go after each other,
right?
Or be in hate with one another. We don't have to worry about any of that. We're not always going to agree. And that's why we have to go back to the common ground. The other thing is that the only essential component that we really need to focus in on is that it's by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Wow.
He is the essential element. That's it. All the other stuff, you know, eating with Gentiles or not, or yeah. circumcision or not, or whatever it is, what is it today? Contemporary praise, worship, or hymns, or these are some of the things that we use as dividing lines.
Yes.
You know, more charismatic, not charismatic.
Spiritual giftings.
Belief systems instead of belief in the world. I mean, in the Word. You know, the belief systems of the world versus the Word. I mean, those kinds of things, they cause division. We have to bring it back to the essential element, and that's Christ and Christ alone.
Yes.
That God so loved the world that he sent his son to die on that cross so that we could have eternal life. That's the element that we have to focus in on. The other thing that is so exciting is that in this chapter, it shows us none of them, apart from Peter at the beginning, when the spreading occurs that Barnabas goes to look at, are the apostles. These are all disciples.
Mm.
They're lay leaders. It's not the church elder mm-mm. body. It's not, I'm serious.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's the Reggies.
We feel like sometimes, oh, I don't have to do that. That's Pastor
right.
Kurt's That's, job. Mm-hmm. That's Pastor Todd's job. That's Pastor so-and-so. I mean, we will say it's the pastor's job.
Yes.
And I recently was doing a hospital visit, and a pastor from our church showed up, and I kind of saw it on his eyes, and he looked at me and goes, oh, what you doing here? You know, because pastors are typically, you know, they'll go, and it's like, I'm a minister. I may not be on a staff with a minister title or whatever, but when one of my people that I am closely in intimate, you know, fellowship with, that, you know, a part of ministry, I do my best to do what I'm supposed to do. It has nothing to do with being on staff. And he wasn't asking in a cross way. He was just like really tickled to see a lay person that did hospital visits. It blessed him.
Right.
And why do we say that it has to be the pastor's job? Or even worse, why is it that when you are in the hospital or I am in the hospital, we think it has to be the pastor to visit us instead of somebody else within the church?
And if it's not, people get it.
Well, they leave the church. People will leave the church because it's not. But the reality is there's more people than one person. And that's why we have the lay people.
Exactly.
And it was the scattering from the persecution that sent them out. And it was the lay people that were bringing about this huge catalyst of change in these regions that Barnabas went to go check out. It was the lay people. And we are here to support our pastors. Our pastors are faithful to the preaching and the teaching of God's word and the shepherding of the flock. But it is our responsibility to be out there on the streets. It is our responsibility to be out there amongst the people, influencing and giving the gospel. And then they can come in and get the discipling. And we can be discipling out there. I mean, Sabrina disciples women all year long on her street. And then some, anybody that she can get to come to her street to get it. Yeah, and she collects her people. But
it encourages you, too, when you disciple others.
It's amazing.
I mean, when I get to do that, I mean, it's a privilege to be able to walk along someone that is new in the faith and to hold them accountable and to teach whatever God's taught me, you know. And it increases your faith.
It does.
And that's why, you know, like exactly what you said, it's important. Your pastor cannot meet with everybody in the body and take care of every need. He will be burnt out within a week.
Yeah, that's not fair to our pastors.
No, it's not.
We need to do a better job taking care of them, loving on them.
And encouraging them.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's extremely important. When we are given an opportunity, like with Peter and with Barnabas, both of them gave encouragement. Peter with a simple telling, Barnabas with a word of exhortation. Mm. What I want us to leave on today is I want you to think about a way within your community, with your people of influence, maybe your church, maybe your neighbors, maybe at work, I don't know, maybe the grocery clerk, whoever it may be, how can you be the agent of grace? Speak life into them. Give the gospel. Share what you've seen and heard. Share what God's done in your life. Motivate them to seek after God's own heart. Find a way to do that this week. I would love to hear how God used you. I thank God for you, and we're so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You need to come back next month because we're going to be closing out Acts. We're going to be finishing it up. And then I'm praying about it, but I think we're going to possibly walk through some times of Jesus's prayer. And so that's probably going to be the next series we're going to look at, our different moments of Jesus's praying. Okay? God bless.